Good morning, everyone. It's 11:08 a.m. and we're gathered in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for a discussion on the allocation of SRS funds. And together today, we're back, let's just go around the room and.
Ruth Nelson, Budget Specialist.
Thursday, September 6th, excuse me. Now say again, please.
Ruth Nelson, Budget Specialist for Sheriff's Office.
Travis Snyder, Under Sheriff for the Sheriff's Office.
Dave Daniel, Josephine County Sheriff.
Arthur O'Hare, Finance Director.
Simon Hare, Josephine County Commissioner.
Lily Morgan, Commissioner.
Dan DeYoung, Commissioner. Thank you all for attending this morning, and I guess we'll start out with Arthur O'Hare.
Sure. I have, what I have handing out now is a listing of all the potential uses that for the SRS funds. On this spreadsheet, I have six columns. There's more than just SRS on here, so we can understand the full scope of what programs we're trying to support. So you'll see there's a column for the cannabis revenue, 17%, cannabis at 3%. The mental health funding that we received, one-time funding last year, SRS funds, PILT funds, and the Forest Trust funds. What we're focusing in on today is the SRS column, the money in, and then the anticipated uses for the funding out. But the other columns are just so we can reference and see where some of the other programs are being used to support this, the whole concept, especially in the cannabis 17% and the cannabis 3%. So under SRS, we received additional funds last year, and this year we had a two-year extension, just a two-year. And so those funds are the 3.7 million was above and beyond our shared receipts, what we are anticipating in shared receipts. So for both disbursements of the SRS. So that's 3.7 million is unallocated. It's money we've received, but we haven't, through the budget process, identified where we're going to spend those funds. So in discussions with the sheriff and with the DA, we're suggesting that these funds be used for, as you can see, 375 for three sheriff deputies, 74 for a records clerk, sheriff records clerk, 97 for a deputy DA, 63 for legal secretary to support the deputy DA, and then 40,000 for medical examiner. Those were the suggested or recommended uses of those funds. Annually, that adds up to 650,000. If you project that over the next 5 years, you can see that we have adequate funding with what we have right now. From what we've already received in SRS, we have adequate funding to fund those positions for at least 5 years. So I think the discussion today is to receive the board's discussion. What do you think? Does it sound right? Are there better uses for the fund? How does that work with the other programs that we're funding? And then, of course, input from the sheriff and undersheriff, and find out what we want to do, how we want to move forward. That make sense?
Okay.
I ramble too much.
Not at all. No, I think that
it's perfect.
It's really good, and I think the timing of it really also needs to be explained. That, you know, due to the fire season and the focus that the sheriff's office has had on evacuations from day one for the last month, that's the reason for the delay, 2 months, the initial delay of really appropriating these funds, waiting till the fiscal year and the budget had been completed in June, and then, you know, not very long after that, you got hit with the fire season. So it's been something we've been working on behind the scenes, but that's right. Why day one in July, we didn't have this proposal before the board.
And I apologize for that. I should have mentioned that we did discuss this during the budget process with the budget committee, that we had received the SRS funds, and that we were intentionally and deliberately going to review them in July, or the first part of the fiscal year, July, August, as to how we were going to allocate them. So that was part of the discussion back in the April, May, June timeframe with the budget committee. So thank you, Commissioner Hare, for reminding me of that.
Who knew Sheriff and Commissioner DeYoung and I taking part in a softball game would bring so much electric static to our community, so.
Yeah, that was D-Day.
Yeah. I would like to just point out as well that I would like us to also maybe bless what's on the cannabis portions as well. Because it also implicates, so one of the things that we're hearing overwhelmingly in the schools is their cry for help. And we presented a phased approach in the budget session as far as getting a juvenile case specialist in there that can help with referrals and a prevention. We contract with Women's Crisis to extend the county schools with the prevention in the junior high and high school. But the third part of that is school resource officers. The state law still requires any crime to be referred by an actual certified officer. It can't go just to the POs from the schools. And so for what we can defer on adjudication, that case specialist will be helping with that because the idea is to try to keep the kids engaged in school and all that. But there's still a process with school resource officers and the need with truancy. Juvenile is going to be coming back with a request for us to pass an ordinance regarding truancy. And another step to try to be helping with the schools and issues like that. The state law already covers it. It's a matter of local perspective twist on it, I guess. But part of it is having the problem solve the solution. Mm-hmm. With marijuana being an increase in the schools and the biggest complaint that we're receiving in the schools for possession and use and influence, that potentially these dollars are going back to providing a solution by getting a deputy working in those schools and such. So that's also recommended here. You'll see that there's, I don't know if you have any questions. I just kind of
No, and I think those are all good things that will dovetail with this proposal. Well, what I actually have a question about is the school resource officer being paid mm-hmm. out of the cannabis.
Yes.
Is that being balanced by someone in the city police, and have we had correspondence with them? Because I know that it's an issue in the city schools.
City has a school resource officer.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they have one school resource officer, and yet they also have school marshal programs as well.
Okay.
And the marshal program is an alternative and a cost savings. Still, it's not a...
They're not investigating crimes. They're
right.
responding to keep
right.
situations quelled in
right.
the schools.
Right, so it's a little different role. Mm-hmm. A little different role. But I think both are possibilities out there that you might be able to supplement some. I don't know what the availability of retired law enforcement officers is out there anymore with, I think, the city ramping up their program this year. But just I wanted to kick that out there.
Wouldn't that be a neat balance if there was an actual officer, but also
absolutely.
A ranger?
Absolutely.
You don't have
a marshal,
you
right?
Have to
absolutely.
Do one or the other. You could possibly do both.
Exactly. And that's my point.
Okay.
That's my point.
I mean, there's enough schools within Three Rivers or even this, you know, that one officer, even in a region, that would be helpful if there was.
Yeah, they have one, you know, basically one officer for all the, what, 11? District 7 schools,
yeah.
and he goes and puts out fires, but then you also have those marshals
yeah.
that are there, and they're assisting doing that.
But they also have an all-hands-on-deck that if there's an incident at a school, they have a response to the whole system.
That's
they have their entire cool. department that responds
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
is assigned places. So
mm-hmm.
where they maybe have one dedicated school resource officer, they have a plan for all of... And where we're, my biggest concern is geographically, mm-hmm. we have three regions, kind of like
we're
talked
spread.
About resident
yeah,
deputies. We have an elementary, junior high, and high school in each of these regions. And the issues really, at some level, go down to starting in elementary, higher elementary, building those relationships there of trust and communication and relationships into the junior high where it's really a key spot of where that drug use is starting to be introduced. So by the time that they're getting to high school, they're dropping out, the crimes are committing, the delinquency at a level that is causing future impact. So, you know, we have one funded right now. There is the availability to fund two more. So you could potentially have one in each of those regions. And from the school standpoint, having that partnership of not only the safety, but the responding to needs and stuff like that, they're hoping that we increase graduation rates. We're hoping we increase attendance because of it. So
yeah, I'm certainly not opposed to that, Commissioner. You know, the more when you talk about putting a uniform on the street, a badge in the schools, that's huge. That's huge. And so I'm not opposed in any way, shape, or form. I would ask for, to look for potential other things that we might be able to do to enhance school safety as well, and not if, yep. if it maybe doesn't just lock in three, maybe it's two, maybe it's not. But anyway, I'm in support of your recommendation.
Well, we are, I mean, regarding the school marshals, one of the things that we're restricted to is that when they retire, the certifications expire at some point after that. And I was working with Chief Allison in Central Point, who is on the police DPSST's regulation board, whatever that. Is there a way that if they're maintaining training with the department or maintaining a part-time status, can those certifications be extended for retired, so you're not limited to 4 years and then you have to find a new batch, that kind of thing. So trying to see a way of opening the door for more marshals, so long as they're affiliated with the department, receiving the training with the department, with their certification with DPSST. So that was something that at AOC we were looking at trying to see if we can be a part of helping find a solution for that. I don't know if there is one.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know there was some legislation they were trying to work on right now to get it to where their PERS wasn't affected if they worked over the, 1,900 hours, I think, a year.
Got it.
Well, there's several exceptions to that rule that they already have in place, that PERS already has in place for certain types of communities with certain populations.
But I don't think it has... But I don't think it affects the school marshal.
It doesn't apply to this one, but again, it can easily be added. Yeah. Well... theoretically, should be easy
could
to
be.
Add that.
Could yeah. be, could be. No, I mean, I'm in support. I want to that recommendation. I do want to just bring it to the table. I don't know that right now necessarily anything needs to be done, but as we grow and we are growing, both in service levels and in numbers and budgeted FTEs, I want to just bring to light that there are some infrastructure issues that are starting to pop up in the form of, okay, I'm putting people on the street, yet I still have one records person to answer a phone, and I still have one dispatch person to answer a phone. I'm still getting people complaining that I have, you know, EIS as our CAD service provider. They're still having to download Silverlight. They're not getting through. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They're still calling on the phone, sometimes waiting 15, 20, 30 minutes to get to a person.
Significance is Silverlight is a product Microsoft created that's no longer supported. Yet the program's requiring it to do that, but it's no longer a supported software, so it's obsolete.
Keep in mind, I've been promised by EIS, which is our CAD service provider, for 2.5 years now that they're going to fix that, and they have lied to me every time I've spoken to them, and I have not received it. So it's a major concern of mine.
Is there another provider you can go to?
Big money. That's where that comes down to it is
no
it's
problem.
Big money.
The big money.
And that's where it comes down to it is it's money. It's money. And you know, Cydia Grants Pass went to New World, new CAD service provider. It's not the greatest program, I don't believe. I've heard a lot of complaints about it. There was supposed to be a bridge, but they do so many updates to fix their issues that every time there was we would have to do an update every time they did an update, and it would just turn into a mess. So, you know, at some point we need to collaborate and partner with the city, but to what level and when, I don't know. But I do want to at least bring to the table that there are some infrastructure issues logistically that we need to begin to look at as we grow.
Radio replacement. More cars as more people go on the roads.
Right.
Cars are outdated.
Yeah. So just adding just these people is great. I'm all in support of it, but we have to build a foundation while we do this so we can do this properly so it doesn't just fall on its face in, you know, 2-3 years. Just want to bring that to the table. That's all.
Arthur and I talked about it a couple days ago that potentially radio and software, we could be looking at $1 million to $1.5 million of a need.
That's probably pretty close. Yeah, pretty accurate.
Does that re-outfit all of our cars and everything?
That's dispatch.
Yeah, that's our dispatch systems, our radio systems and our computer systems and dispatch are antiquated. I've been told that we're, you know, one step away from catastrophic failure at any time.
Yeah. The city's,
I don't know exactly what that means.
Just authorized new purchase, but were you included in that?
No, I was not. Not in their program, no.
And, you know, maybe it's time, that's some point down the road here, we look at that. I mean, they're looking at building a new building, and they're putting in new dispatch, and they have all new equipment. You know, maybe it's when they get into their building or prior to, maybe that's something we look at, partnering with them.
Well, usually a contract can be extended to another agency under the same purchase price and stuff like that. So the ability, but that was what I was basing my guesstimate on, what the cost of replacing that software and the, those.
Well, we went down that road with Lane County. Lane County had an EIS. They also, EIS is their service provider. And we spoke with them about contracting services. And the bid came in too high.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about the physical radio purchase as well. I mean, just even upgrading so you don't have a category, regardless of where your dispatch is or who's overseeing it, that your equipment is going to actually work. That's what the city just, and city and 911 just went into a partnership to upgrade theirs. You would think that they would have gone to the secondary PSAP to make sure theirs were upgraded too, but.
Didn't happen.
Sheriff, I hear you, and what our eyes struggle is that we're starting to talk about the nickel and dime as opposed to having a strategic plan that says these are the these are all of the issues that we have, and they're codified somewhere, and that takes work. It takes somebody to kind of spearhead that, but I think sooner rather than later, because what I've never really seen is understanding all of the portfolio of law enforcement and public safety issues that are a challenge, and without that strategic plan, the city goes off and does something, or we go off and do something, and we're not coordinating. And I don't know even if the city has a strategic plan as far as law enforcement and public safety is concerned, but it really needs to be comprehensive in my mind. And I think that we have a foundation with the citizens saying that, you know, incarcerating people who commit a crime is a priority for them. Board has said that getting people into that system is a priority for us, and making sure that there's a DA and an officer. But when we have people who are not law enforcement experts throwing money at stuff, we forget about the records person or the infrastructure that hasn't been updated in 15 years.
Yeah,
totally
real good to put the boots on the ground, but
we don't know that there's shortcomings that they're experiencing every day. So I think that where we're at right now is a good proposal, but it's really kind of a stopgap measure and doesn't do everything. And we need to step back, you know, 30,000 feet and design a system that's going to really work for the people we're employing so that we're not making two steps forward and three steps back.
Yeah,
I agree, and that's well said. Yeah, it's well put.
Well, and you'll see we did add the clerk, the records clerk, to this for that reason, to try to help with that. But you're right, there's more planning that needs to be done. And we talked about convening the meeting with sheriff and city as far as talking about what's going to happen with our infrastructure when you move, what's going to happen with physical ability to do our jobs if you guys change, and what's that, you know, and just everything that's related to what does that mean.
Where's OSP in this whole thing? Are they just off on their own?
Well, that raises a good point. This is, you know, with these monies here, this starts to potentially open the door to getting some type of nighttime coverage. I was on the phone with OSP an hour ago, and or less than that, and speaking with them about potentially contracting or just being provided dispatch services from say 11 p to 7 a hours that there are not, there's not much law enforcement presence out there. Josephine County residents, I've heard it loud and clear over and over and over that they would like to see a nighttime presence. It would be a skeleton crew, but this starts to open the door for a potential for that. If I don't have to hire dispatchers, if I had to hire dispatchers, there's no way I could do it with this allocation of money. But if I can, you know, create a partnership with OSP, put them back into their primary mission for a few hours a night, and then get us out there a few hours a night, say 5 days a week even, we could really start to serve our citizens better.
Well, I think it's your job to demonstrate to OSP the features and benefits of them doing that.
Absolutely.
You know, because they're, you know, they're, it constantly comes, oh, we're having to do the job the sheriff can't do. Just say, we can do the job, but we can't, we can't do the job and dispatch.
I know they will entertain this concept.
Okay.
And I'm not saying we're there yet. Three deputies, you know, taking a year to hire is down the road a little bit, but altogether a possibility, and I think our citizens are
positive about this proposal. It isn't a one-year allocation where you're spending one and done. It's got a shelf life. But frankly, without the strategic plan and the prioritization predetermined about where is the highest and best need, I'm not so sure that it would be so much different than where we're at right now. We have a tendency to be able to feel really good about where the need is. You've heard it from the community. But it would be so much better to go to anybody and say, we've reviewed this with everybody, OSP and the city, and everybody's been included in the strategic plan. That's exactly what it says we need to be doing first. And then the next things after we tick those off are these other elements. So a real advantage to having that, I think, for future decisions about if PILT stays at this level, which we're not anticipating, or Secure Rural Schools is reauthorized in some fashion, or shared receipts bumps up and doubles next year because of the fires and the salvage and the high timber prices that we've experienced this year. There's revenue streams that are out there that are potentials that we need to be poised and ready to take advantage of if they're either long-term, ongoing, or one-time, you know, influxes of an extra $1 million. There's your delta solved for communications upgrades, and that's where it should be prioritized, not adding more burden to the infrastructure that's already failing. So I think we need to probably lean into it. My goal would be that we would have it done and ready for a proposal for the next fiscal budget year, so that when you're talking about budgets in May, it may not change a whole lot as far as what you're doing because you may not have more resources, but at least it's guiding you with your appropriation next fiscal year of saying you're okay or you need to shore up this. Taking the next 7 months to do that would be probably really
advantageous. Well, we've talked strategic plans and master plans with several departments, several programs, and bringing on consultants to help us
that.
To facilitate the program or the development of a plan. So that might be something that would be well worth a few thousand dollars.
Right now, is about ready to put the bow on theirs. We have not met them in the middle. It says this is where our input is for that 72 acres of infrastructure. It's not just the fair current portfolio. It's what happens when we have a strategic plan of moving public works in 2 years, and how does that affect them? So we're not meeting them in the middle.
And the Department of Public Safety did hire a strategic analyst, a firm that came in and did do a strategic plan for them, and I think they're still breathing off of that.
Okay.
Because the infrastructure and those things, PILT, one-time funding, one-time expenses, that's where I think some of that capital improvements or the radio upgrades would be an appropriate fit if we get that next year, what amount?
Not all PILT is a one-time. We use that as an ongoing revenue stream based on a conservative estimate of what that revenue is going to be around that 800, because when I first came in, it was much, much lower, and so it does have a tendency to vacillate tremendously. What we did basically this year was take about $1 million of that and put it into building reserve, because you're going to have 34 heating and air conditioning exchanges on the roof of the jail that are at the end of their use for life because we just paid off the bond and they're about 20 years old. So it's that there's anticipated hard infrastructure stuff that we did do, I think, the right move in moving that.
Why does PILT go up and down so much? I mean, it should be fairly constant.
It's been mostly up.
Why does it oscillate, as Commissioner said? We got $1.1 million this year, but we may not get it next year, so why wouldn't we?
I could put you in touch with people who can give you a better explanation than I could. Mine is a third grader's understanding of a very complex.
Well, now you're talking to a third grader, so we'll probably get along just fine. But. I mean, I just don't understand. The acreage didn't change up by 60%. Now it's down by 30%. I don't get that. It's payment in lieu of tax.
It has a relationship to Secure Rural Schools and the appropriation of either shared receipts or Secure Rural Schools. So when those programs are, 1 year they're appropriated and reauthorized, and 1 year they're not, it changes dramatically how PILT is affected.
So if SRS does not get renewed, PILT may go up.
Or it may stay exactly where it is.
Or it may stay exactly the same and they go spend the money somewhere else.
There was a gap in Secure Rural Schools. If now it's going to go down because Secure Rural Schools was reauthorized for 2 years, I don't want to waste a bunch of the sheriff's
time. Essentially, we didn't get anything from Secure Rural Schools.
But what the board does is
change the out where it came from.
Yeah, but not near as much as we used to get with secured rural
next
schools.
Next year's expected PILT payment will be in the budget around $800,000.
And if by chance we get any more,
then
trying to dedicate it towards...
Going back to what Commissioner Morgan said, I agree with that. If it's one-time funds, it should go to a one-time project, which is, like you're saying, your upgrade, fine. It's a cost of $1 million, spend it, and then you're done with it. Then you just got a maintenance fee after that.
DA's okay with this proposal?
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday, and that's where we got the medical examiner. He mentioned the fact that you guys are putting more people in that jail, and so his workload, even Tuesday morning, had 36 more people above and beyond what he would normally have to handle that he had to process, and by 11 o'clock or something.
Yep.
I mean, it's so the workload has increased because the sheriff's doing, you know, getting more people, more customers.
More customers, yeah. We are there, by the way. I'm just think you all know that, but we're at 185.
Yeah.
The chief medical examiner is out of town. I talked to the DA yesterday as well, and so as soon as he's back, they'll follow up with Arthur specifically about this other one, but it is... I talked to the sheriff earlier this week about the medical examiner too. You mentioned that it is something that is helpful and needed, and so
Josephine County, I think, is one of the only counties that does not have
assistance
in the ME's office, and we actually take up the vast majority of the medical examiner's caseload workload. So from all the other counties in Southern Oregon, I don't know exactly why, but that's a fact. We're special in that light. So I think you know, having a part-time person to be able to do that, and I appreciate Ryan Wilkins taking on that person, is a positive.
Well, I'm fully in support of this proposal, and I think there's real positives from the longevity, giving stability for your office transcends the levy. That's not looked at for us as a permanent funding stream. It's really a gap to something more permanent, and you know, we went out for 5 years expecting to make progress, not maybe to solve it, but to make good progress in that time frame and to utilize those dollars to shore up the difference, the balance, the holes of where, you know, the citizens said they'd pay for the jail. We're gonna pay for people to bring them there and get them to 185 and provide some security for the community. And
that levy had to pass everything you're on this page would have had to go to keeping that jail open.
We would be in a completely different ballgame right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, with the board's approval, then the actual next step will be the paperwork, which will be the position requisitions that'll have to come to the board for your approval and signature, because these would be new positions that are not in the budget currently. And then, of course, we'll include those in a supplemental budget when we process that for this current fiscal year also. The medical examiner may be more of a contract rather than a position requisition, but I guess we'll figure that out when we talk.
Is there
the
a need in here to budget for drafting, retaining somebody to do a strategic plan, or is there within the internal service fund an ability to try to do that? Because it's not just serving law enforcement needs, it's really serving the board's strategic plan as well. So I see that as maybe
either way, I could see that.
I would rather not spend a dime out of this to do a plan. These dollars, in my opinion, need to be prioritized for putting boots on the ground. And if there's capacity with the internal service fund, and I don't think it's outside of the scope of using those dollars to pay for it. So if the need is there and the endorsement of that a priority, but sooner rather than later, I think it's going to serve everybody really well to have something delineated that tells the story about here's the positives. It can't just be about all the negatives. It should say, here's all the things we've been able to accomplish, but here's a couple of the things we're still working on, and you know, the foreseeable liabilities in the forecast or whatever. So,
well, I'd rather see what the whole puzzle should look like when it's done rather than just piece at a time.
Uh-huh.
Hard to get a handle on, oh, here's a piece, what do you think that's going to go? Okay. I don't know what the whole thing looks like in the perfect world.
Well, I think it would be, I mean, just on a side note, that we actually maybe pull together a meeting with all the department heads and electeds, the managers, and come up with a strategic plan and goal, and if it has to be facilitated and working with an agency that as a whole we're doing that. And then every January when we're coming up with goals, we are operating off of a trajectory that is getting us there.
That's good. Now I can, talking about a countywide strategic versus public safety strategic, I mean, did you like the company you worked with the first time? I can work with the sheriff or with Undersheriff Snyder or to find
a... The city who did a strategic...
City did the... And are you talking about the PAVE evaluation that was done a few years ago? Or did they do something since?
It was a few years ago.
Yeah, I was on the PAVE committee when that happened, and most everything that was recommended, they said, oh, we're not going to do that. Oh, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that.
We're already doing it.
I didn't... No, they said, oh, that... I understand they made that recommendation, but they don't understand our computer system, so we don't need to do that. Oh, I understand that, but no, we don't need... They dismissed the whole thing. There was...
I'd rather start from a scratch. I
would like to see us focus on public safety or on the Sheriff's Department and law enforcement right now. All aspects of law enforcement and not, you know, I agree with... At some point in time, we want to talk to parks and public work there. Right now, this is at hand.
That firm may be able to have like extra things added on that, you know, Sarah does most of her strategic plan on her own and they work cooperatively to brush it up and put it in a final package that the board approves.
When you ask these people to do that, you have to ask them specific because they won't do anything that they're not asked.
Yeah.
You say, well, gosh, why didn't you include that? And they go, you didn't put it down. You didn't put it on your checklist.
I was thinking more of a facilitator or consultant that would actually then work with the departments to get that input of what do we need, what are we looking for, and I would anticipate it would be not just the operational aspects, but also the infrastructure and your long-term capital.
What are we looking at? I mean, you've got obviously got an idea of where.
Right, to have someone to pull that all together.
You know, Ted can give you an idea on your longevity of your fleet.
The state of the county and putting out a 5-year was kind of the start of that, but actually that was the perspective of department heads of what I need in 5 years. Having a professional come in and help assist of what are we actually looking at. There's some that may not have the full scope of what we need to be anticipating.
I see the single point of going and mining other like municipals best practices, those who have done a strategic plan, you know, learn from other people's mistakes and benefit from their successes.
Yep.
And that takes time. You guys don't necessarily, you know, and that's all the consultant does is come and say, hey, these three things work for records or for dispatch in certain similar areas. What do you think about that? This one costs $100,000, this one, you know, whatever. And you do that with everything, like consolidating evidence that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We take the three options that are the best out there and say, that one works great for us. Done. You know, it works. So, and I think we've done that in the past and that's served us really well, but we haven't ever really kind of codified it and had it structurally facilitated. Parks is the same way, you know. So that's the strategy that I would suggest we employ.
So going forward.
With this available funding as a whole picture, can we move forward with that, or are we just talking the SRS? Where are we at right now?
The elements that haven't been endorsed, what I would say, are the SRS funds, and there's one element in the Forestry Trust that we've talked about, but we don't have a specific proposal. Well, Arthur and I have chatted, and I've met with San. Where we're at structurally is probably advantageous to us for CASA is to do probably a grant for a year, a couple years, and then over time, if it's necessary, to bring that program back into the fold of the county. But right now, the easiest, most effective way to utilize those dollars is just to grant them, but grant them exclusively to the benefit of Josephine County's CASA program.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, because we noticed that we were going to talk about SRS funds. We didn't notice that we were going to talk about Forest Trust funds. Can we do that?
Yeah, all of these things will be requiring, like Arthur was saying, other actions to actually implement them.
Right. So
but
if we,
right
now, I think,
contract,
I think the question was, is that do we accept the SRS part of this presentation right now, because that's...
She was asking whether or not we're accepting the whole thing.
Or the whole thing.
And I was trying to provide some clarity.
But we haven't discussed, we didn't notice that we were going to look at the whole available funding throughout being cannabis, marijuana, and forced trust fund.
Everything has already been decided, SRS, and we're actually just making a recommendation to proceed with this vision right now. All of it will be subject to the hiring stuff, the job descriptions, all of that element. There'll be a contract for the $40,000 medical examiner. And so I'm suggesting that we include that CASA start moving forward with the proposed contract to do those things. So
and
I'm fine
I think
with
that
bringing
we had,
it up at a different point, but...
Our recommendation would be that Juvenile be the overseer of that contract as they work directly with it. Used to be housed under Juvenile, are familiar with
the
program.
That's
a good fit.
I think it makes, you wouldn't want
to. Okay. Anything else needed from the sheriff's office?
I think we're good.
So I would make a proposal that as presented, this whole spreadsheet would be endorsed by the board.
I agree.
Do you need a motion to that?
Sponsor this whole spreadsheet as presented.
Let's retitle it, is that instead of SRS funding alternatives, because that's specifically to what you're talking about.
That right, that's how we noticed it. That's
we
all
brought
I'm
in that. If noticing is just the best available information at the time at which we're looking to discuss it. It doesn't limit, and that's actually written on the agenda, the ability of the board to discuss other matters. So 2018-19 funding, available funding strategy. If that's your motion.
Yes.
Okay. I would second that.
Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0.
Perfect.
I will follow up with a memo to your office regarding this, and then you'll need to follow up with your whatever your strategy is going to be as to when you can hire and all the PAs and so on and so forth.
And I'm assuming that means there's no more further questions of the staff or sheriff's department. So with that, we are adjourned at 11:37. Thank you.